service all kiddos 3, 4, and 5. Now is your time to escape the service. I appreciate you being here tonight. I hope you're prayed up and ready to go. I'll be honest with you tonight. We're only going to get started, and I have no idea how long it's going to take me to get through this doctrine. I've been studying all week on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. We're only going to get started tonight by scratching the surface. And when we get done with this doctrine, we still will only have scratched the surface. There's no doubt about that. I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 28, the book of Matthew chapter 28. While you're finding your place, I want to remind you about this slide that I showed this morning. If you'd like to help these folks down in Texas with this hurricane that came through, here are a couple of areas that if you want to send some money, send some relief. These are two organizations that I recommend. One of them is the Christ Church Baptist Fellowship. That is Dr. Johnny Pope's church. They're in Houston, and they are collecting funds. If you send something to them, be sure and put Harvey Help on it. You'll notice that in quotes, and they're helping folks through that. Also, this ministry called Hearts with Hands. There's the website right here. There's so much on that website. I just want to give you the website, and you can go look at it. There's things they're trying to gather, from materials to money, different things. Both of these ministries, there's no doubt in my mind, will try to win people to Christ. No doubt about it. And I encourage you to help with this. My family and I are planning on doing this myself, so I'm encouraging you to do the same thing. At least send some financial help there. That would be great. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19. We're in the middle now of our doctrine of this series on sound doctrine. And we're currently under this doctrine of God. And there's several sermons that we've already preached on the doctrine of God. And remember, we're talking about His nature and His names. We're still under His nature. And the last thing I brought out under the nature of God is that He is a Trinity. If you remember me preaching on that many moons ago now, He's a Trinity. He's one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one God that manifests Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we're looking at the Trinity in detail. We've already preached on God the Father. We've already preached on God the Son. Tonight we begin our study on God the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. And I hope that you are, at least in this way, like me. Maybe not in everything, but I know one thing. I approach this sermon and this topic here very reverently, very respectfully. And I want to say something to you. This is vitally important that this church understands this doctrine. No doubt about it. Now, we're only going to get started tonight. Several things I want to get to. I can't hardly wait to get to them. But we're only going to get started this evening. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. The Lord is speaking, says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son," and here He is now, "and of the Holy Ghost." I begin tonight on the doctrine of the Holy Ghost, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, would You bless this study, challenge us from Your Word. May we get a better understanding of who You are. And may You help us, Lord, to never get over it. May Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. A favorite story many years ago of A.J. Gordon was that of an American who wanted his English friend to see the Niagara Falls. Taking him to the foot of the falls, he said, "There's the greatest unused power in the world," talking about Niagara Falls. But his friend, the Englishman, said, "Oh, no, that's not so. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God." To this I say amen. And as we begin our study of Him, we desperately need to understand more of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. As you well know, we know that the Holy Spirit of God, He comes to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. We understand that. But that does not mean that we should not study Him. And that does not mean that we should not know who He is. Because He's in the world today and He is doing a magnificent job. Amen. May I say to you that we desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit of God upon us. If you ask me what's the greatest need among Christians, the greatest need among the lost world is for the Holy Spirit of God to use the gospel of Jesus Christ and save people for the glory of God. The greatest need, in my opinion, and listen, it's going to be hard to uproot this. The greatest need, in my opinion, among Christians is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Being Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled. May I say this to you? That's going to be the last thing that we deal with is being Spirit-filled. It may take us 10, 15 messages to get there. I don't know. It may take 5, 6. I don't know yet. I'm just going to take my time. And as we work through this, there are several things I want us to see about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, the first thing I want to do, I'm just introducing him tonight. Let me give you several things. Number one, notice his titles. His titles. In other words, what is said about him as far as names, the titles that's given to him. Now, one of the greatest well-known titles I'm not even going to bring out under this point. It's the title Comforter. That's later. But what I want to do here is I want to walk through the Word of God and I want to show you different things that is allotted to the Holy Spirit of God, and these are his titles. Number one under this, letter A, he is called the Spirit of God. We see this in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." He's called the Spirit of God. That's one of his titles. Letter B, he's called the Spirit of Christ. This is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." The Bible says in Galatians 4, 6, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." His titles, he is the Spirit of God. His title, he's the Spirit of Christ. His title, letter C, he's the Spirit of truth. The Bible teaches in John 15, 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth," there it is, that's his name, "which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." John 16, 13, "Howbeit when he," the Spirit of truth, "is come, he will guide you into all truth." Now get this, he's the Spirit of God, he's the Spirit of Christ, and because he's the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, and because God is God and Christ is God and the Holy Spirit is God, everything he does is truth. Everything. He will never lead you into false doctrine. He will never lead you into error. He always leads into the truth. Letter D, he's also called the Spirit of life. We see this in Revelation 11, verse 11. "And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them." Talking about the two witnesses, remember? They kill them, they think they're gone, and the Spirit of life from God came into them, and they stood up upon their feet. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life," there it is, "in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." We're looking at his titles, first of all, his titles. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of life. Letter E, he's the Spirit of grace. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, 29, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye that he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Aren't you glad that's one of his names? I mean, one of his names is he is the Spirit of grace. Letter F, he's the Spirit of glory. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. He's called the spirit of glory, the spirit of majesty. Let me give you another one. He's called the spirit of adoption. That ought to bless your heart right there. He's called the spirit of adoption. Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Capital S, the spirit, he of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let me ask you a question. Last time you prayed, did you open your prayer with Dear Heavenly Father? Are you able to call the Heavenly Father your Father? Let me tell you why. Because the spirit of adoption lives inside of you. And he's telling you, you belong to him. That's a blessing tonight. Let me give you another title. He's called the spirit of holiness. Holiness. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 verse 4, by the way, this sermon is homiletically a nightmare. You know what that means? A homiletical correct sermon means you give one thought and you drive that thought home. I've already given you six or seven. So forget homiletics tonight. Who cares? We're just looking at the Holy Spirit of God rejoicing, number one, in his titles. He's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of Christ. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of life. He's the Spirit of grace. He's the Spirit of glory. He's the Spirit of adoption. He's the Spirit of holiness. Romans 1:4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He is the Spirit of holiness. May I say this to you? A holy, godly, separated life is still the will of Almighty God. And if he lives inside you, he will never, ever lead you into a path that is not holy. Amen tonight, friends. He's the Spirit of holiness. Let me ask you a question. How holy are you? Now, we have holier than thou's. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not asking you that. Do you think you're holier than he is? No, I'm asking this. Does your life portray who lives inside you? If you're saved, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He lives inside you. And if he's the Spirit of holiness, you ought to be, and I ought to be reflecting that in the way we live our lives. Amen tonight. I'll amen myself. I don't care if you amen or not. I'll amen myself tonight. I'm telling you tonight, that's right. The Holy Spirit of God desires his people to live a holy life. He's the Spirit of holiness. Let me give you another one. He's the Spirit of promise. By the way, doesn't that even sound good? He's the Spirit of promise. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. You like that, don't you? We're not going to get to that tonight. But ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Let me tell you why I know I'm going to heaven. Because God promised me, and his Spirit, and one of his names, he's the Spirit of promise, lives in me. And inside every child of God's heart, they know in their heart they're going to see God. They know they're going to see heaven. They know they're going to see their saved loved ones again. They know they're going to see Jesus. Let me tell you why. Because the Spirit of promise lives inside of you. You know in your heart it's true, don't you? You know it is. Sometimes you doubt, sometimes you fear. Join the crowd, friends. But every now and then the Holy Spirit of God will turn you back, even in your doubt, and say, you know that what I've been saying is the truth. Let me tell you why that happens. Because the Spirit of promise lives in you. And he's confirming the promises of God the Father in you. That's his titles. By the way, go find more of them. Go find more titles. I'm just scratching the surface. First of all, his titles, he's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, of truth, of life, of grace, of glory, of adoption, of holiness, of promise. That's his titles. Let me give you a second thing tonight. Let's notice his types. His types. In other words, his emblems, his symbols. You know, it's interesting that the Word of God gives us different types, symbols, emblems of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to give you five of them here. Number one, He is likened to a dove. We see this in John chapter 1, verse 32, where the Bible says in John the Baptist bare record, saying that he saw the Spirit, remember, at the baptism of Jesus, he saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a what? Like a dove, saying, I will pour my Spirit, and it abode upon him. Now, the dove is a picture of his purity and his peace. If you remember in Noah's Ark, when he sent the dove out, remember, the dove came back. When he sent the raven out, the raven did not come back. Let me tell you why, because the raven's a dirty animal. He didn't care how dirty it was out there. But the dove is a clean animal, a pure animal, a holy animal, and when it could not find a place to put its feet, it refused to dwell in dirtiness and came back to the ark of God. May I say this to you? The Holy Spirit is completely pure, and He is full of peace. That's pictured in the dove. Let me give you another type. He's pictured as water. The Word of God says in Isaiah 44:3, says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. In other words, the Word of God says here in Isaiah 44:3, He says, I'm going to pour water upon the thirsty, and I'm going to pour floods upon the dry ground. Then He identifies it. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. This is one of the promises that I've written down for my children. It's on my prayer list. And this is a verse that I turn to often. I pray through that verse. Lord, you said you'd pour water upon the thirsty. Help me be thirsty. You said you'd pour floods upon the dry ground. I am dry. I need you. You said you'd pour your Spirit upon my seed. Please do that, God. And upon mine offspring. John 7, 38 and 39. This is when he's here in the Gospel of John, says, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly. I'm losing my voice, friends. I'm sorry. Don't say amen there, okay? I'm loosening this here. Maybe I'm just choking myself to death. But anyway, in John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, Jesus said, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. Did you get that? In other words, he said, he that believes on me, out of his belly is going to come forth rivers of living water. And the Bible says when he's talking about those rivers of living water, the Bible says he was speaking of the Spirit. Now, if he calls the Holy Spirit water, what's he trying to teach us? May I say to you that the dove indicates purity and peace? But I recommend to you here, and I submit to you, that water in these verses recommend life. And it recommends cleansing. In other words, the water upon the dry ground, the floods upon the dry ground, it will bring forth life. Water produces life. You can't live without water. Did you know that? And if one of the names of the Holy Spirit of God is He is water, you know what He's telling us? We need Him. You can't live without Him. We've got to have Him. That's type number two. Let me give you type number three. Type number three is He is known as oil. I think I could sing tenor right now, Brother Gary. I'm not real sure here. I got a Milky Way down here. I wonder if that would lower my voice or not, you know. Oil. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus said, right here it says the Spirit is upon me. He has anointed me. May I say to you that when you do a study of oil in the Old Testament, you will find that oil was used to produce light. You will find that oil was used for healing. You will find that oil was used to anoint people for service. So I submit to you that when the Holy Spirit of God is likened to oil, he's teaching us that by him comes light. By him comes spiritual healing. And by him comes power to serve God. Now, folks, these are great pictures of the Holy Spirit of God. He is called the dove. He's peace. He's pure. He's called water. He brings life. He brings cleansing. He is oil. Without him, we're in darkness. We need him for spiritual healing. And if you're going to serve God, you've got to be anointed by him. Let me give you a fourth one. A fourth type is he is called fire. Fire. Now, I remind you that I'm typing all this out. Some of you are trying to keep notes with me. That's fine. You can help yourself. But when I get done with this doctrine, I'm on page 24, by the way. When I get done with the doctrine of God, I'll put it all together. You can have it. Okay? You can have it. It's got all these scripture references in it, all of it. He's also known as fire. This is another type of the Holy Spirit of God. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. See it? He's fire. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, when you think of fire, there's several things that can come to mind. Fire is used to purify. Fire is used to judge. Fire is used to illuminate, to light things up. And fire consumes things. May I say to you that the Holy Spirit of God does all four of those things? He purifies. He judges. He illuminates the gospel. And he consumes those who want to be used for Almighty God. What an emblem. What a type. What a symbol. Let me give you the final one here. He's the dove. He's water. He's oil. He's fire. Number five, he is wind. Now, I've already read it here, but I'm going to read it again. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. John chapter 3, verse 8, the Lord said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. They are born of wind. Wind. Now, what in the world does wind have to do with the Holy Spirit of God? Look here, please. You can't see wind. You can see its power. Amen. You can see its effect. But you can't look and say, look at that wind right there. You can't do it. You can see what the wind does. You see what I'm saying? If it's strong enough wind, it'll pick your house up. Amen. I'm telling you, wind is a powerful, powerful thing. And when God calls his Holy Spirit wind, he's saying he's an unseen power. That's what he is. You don't see him, but you can sure see when he is working, can't you? That's wind. Number one, we've noticed his titles. Number two, we've noticed his types. Now, let's get started, only started, with what I've called his traits. This is a word with T that just means his characteristics, okay? What he does, who he is, all these other kind of things. Now, we've already been doing that. I mean, his names tell you who he is. His titles tell you who he is. But let's just start walking through the Word of God. I'm going to be honest with you, friends. It is amazing when you do a study on the Holy Spirit of God how much he does. It is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Let me give you several things about him tonight. Just two of them here, and we'll be done. Trait number one, and this is one you need to understand. Here's number one. He is a person, not a thing. Let me say it again. He is a person, not a thing. Don't ever refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Always refer to the Holy Spirit as he or him. Because he is God as much as God the Father and as much as God the Son. Now I want you to flip with me here. I want you to see this. Turn to the book of John, chapter number 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And look at verse number 7. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. How many of you all have ever heard somebody call the Holy Spirit it? Would you raise your hand? You've heard that. Yes. That is inaccurate. That is not true. He's not an it. He's a he. Now look at John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, there he is, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send what? Not it. I'll send him unto you. Notice these pronouns now. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Skip down to verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Don't refer to the Holy Spirit as it, always he. Never, he is never referred to in the Scripture as it. He is always referred to as he or him. Always. By the way, let me prove this a little bit further, okay? Let me give you five reasons here. This one here was one of them, so this would be five more. Why we know he is a person. He's a personality. He's not a force. He's not an it. He's God. He's him. That's who it is. Let me give you several things here. Number one under this, he has a mind. Did you know that? Listen to this. Romans 8:27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit has a mind. He has a will. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. He will. He's got a mind. He's got a will. Look here. The Bible says he loves. Now, how does an it love? He loves. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 30, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, he loves. You know what's a blessing? It's a blessing when you put the Trinity together, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What'd you learn about the Father? He loves you. What'd you learn about the Son? He loves you. You know what you learn about the Spirit? He loves you. I'm telling you, he loves. Let me give you another thing. He hears and speaks. Now, when's the last thing that hears and speaks? He's not a thing. He's a person. Listen to this. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, he spoke to Philip, Acts chapter 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. May I say this to you? He's got to be a personality because He hears and He speaks. He has a mind. He loves. He has a will. By the way, the Bible also says this about Him. He prays. He prays. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know that we should not, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He prays. He talks to His Father. I'm saying He talks. He speaks. He has a will. He loves. He has a mind. He's never referred to as it in the Bible. It's always He and Him. He and Him. He and Him. This is one of His traits. He's a person. He's not a thing. You need to understand that tonight. You need to get that tonight. Hey, that's Bible doctrine tonight. He's a person. He is not a thing. Let me give you a second trait tonight. This is as far as we'll get tonight. Number two, this has already been said, but I'm going to say it again. He is God. He is God. I can't explain it. You can't either. Can't figure it out. You can't either. Remember, this is all under His nature. God is a Trinity. He is Father. He is Son. He is Holy Ghost. He is not three gods. He is one God, manifest Himself in three ways. He is Father. He is Son. He is Holy Ghost. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Ghost is God, because they're the same person. Now this is it. We need to understand this. Let me give you some proof here. First of all, He's omnipresent. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Now he's talking to God. And the psalmist said, I can't go anywhere that your spirit doesn't go with me. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? He's omnipresent. Look here, please. Only God is omnipresent. Amen. And the Holy Spirit of God is omnipresent. The Bible also teaches He's omniscient. He knows all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Now listen to this. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You know how much the Spirit of God knows? As much as God the Father knows. Tell you how much He knows? As much as God the Son knows. He's one. He's a Trinity. He's not separate. He's one. He's a unity. But He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. By the way, if you could figure Him out, He wouldn't be God, would He? Now think with me. If you know everything there is about your God, then He's not much of a God. If our finite minds can figure it all out, then He's not much of a God. I'm telling you tonight, He's revealed enough to us to let us know He loves us, He cares for us, He wants us to spend eternity with Him, and He's made the way to do that. And He's given us His Word to show us all of that. But folks, we've got all eternity to try to figure Him out. And I'll guarantee you this, we never will figure Him out. He's beyond us. Aren't you glad your God is beyond you tonight? Hallelujah, friends. I don't want to bow to I'm talking about to someone who's just like me. He's beyond me. He's omniscient. Let me give you another thing. He's omnipotent. You say, prove it. Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know what that tells me? God used His Spirit in the creation of the universe. Now, that's all-powerful, friends. Let me give you another one. He's eternal. There is nobody that can claim eternality. I'm talking about eternal means from past to future. Now, we are eternal when it comes to the future. There never will be a time when we are not. We will live on for eternity future. But this word eternal not only means future, it means past. It means he didn't have a beginning. Now, friends, I can't explain that. I mean, what in the world? How in the world do you explain it? You can't explain it. May I say this to you? Only God can claim to be eternal. Only God. And the Bible says this in Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, there it is, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He is not just the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of holiness, all of this. He is also the eternal Spirit. You know what that tells us? He is God. That's who he is. Let me give you a final one tonight. He is called God. He is called God. Now, I know I'm sending you home with a lot of leftovers tonight. I get that. I understand that. There is no way I can give you one truth in this doctrine and go home. If I do that, we'll be here from now on, good night, probably the millennial reign of Christ. All I'm doing is just giving you a survey. We're just surveying the Holy Spirit of God, and we're looking at this, his traits. He's a person. He's not a thing. He is God. We see that because he's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He is eternal. And the Word of God calls him God. Here it is. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this. This is when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Lord. Remember? They sold their possessions, all of that, and they brought just part of it. We preached on that one as I'm preaching through Acts. And remember, they pretended that they gave everything. Now, listen, their sin was they were wearing a mask. They were being hypocritical. They said, we've sold it for this much, here's all. We're giving it all to God. But they were holding some back and they knew it. And they lied. God killed them. By the way, if God killed liars today, would you be alive? Would I be alive? Wow. Oh, how I love Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. And yet in your home there's things that you know is displeasing to God. You know what that's called? That's called the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. It's called hypocrisy. It's called wearing a mask. Aren't you glad God doesn't deal with us like that today? Amen. May I be honest with you? I am sure in my life, somewhere down the line, I've lied to God. If you'd be honest, you'd probably have to say the same thing. Thank God he's a spirit of grace, mercy, peace, adoption. He's called God. Here's what it says. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? So he tells him, you have lied to the Holy Ghost. And to keep back part of the price of the land. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? In other words, here's what Peter's saying. You have lied to the Holy Ghost. He specifically said that. He said, when you sold it, you didn't have to bring it all. But just tell me that you should have told the truth. Then he goes on to say this, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied to men, but unto God. Do you hear the language? He said, Ananias, why did Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Fast forward, you didn't lie to men. You lied to God. In other words, the Holy Ghost is God. When he lied to the Holy Ghost, he lied to God. It is a dangerous thing Look here, please. Every eyeball, look at me just a moment. It is a dangerous thing to play games with the Holy Spirit. It's a dangerous game. Because it's a game that I guarantee you, no man will win. I desperately need the power of God. I've not even got to that yet. I'm plowing towards it. You know, my sermon really is kind of one thought at the end. But it's just going to take us so many sermons to get there. You know what it is? We need Him. And let's make sure there's nothing in us that's hindering Him. It's going to get real during this doctrine, friends. I'm going to tell you it is. I'm not talking about from me. I'm not talking about me getting specific about that. But I'll guarantee you this, if you want the Holy Spirit's power in your life, the Holy Spirit filling in your life, and you want this Spirit, who is a person, He is God, He's the eternal Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of grace, all of this living through you, flowing through you, and you get honest with Him, He will get honest with you. And He will tell you, that must change. You may tell you why we don't have many Spirit-filled Christians today. Because we don't want to be. We're afraid to go to God and say, God, shine the light on me. Show me where I need to change. And until we do that, we will have no power in our churches. Question. As we begin the invitation, if you wouldn't mind to come and just begin to play through this little chorus here, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Stay glued on me for just a moment here. Question. These are common sense questions. It's not like you shouldn't know the answer. In other words, everybody here will know the answer to these questions. Does the Holy Spirit of God desire to work in His power in this world today? Yes. Do we need His power? Yes. You show me any problem that anybody's having. And I'm not talking about a medical problem. I'm not talking about a physical problem, okay? Not a physical problem. I'm talking about marriage. Other problems at work, over here, personal problems. Look here, please. There is no problem. Again, I'm not talking about physical medical problems. You understand what I'm saying? No, I'm not talking about that. But there is no problem outside of a medical problem that the filling of the Holy Spirit will not correct. Think about what I said. If my wife and I are ever going at it, or if I ever kick the traces, or if I ever start running around on her, God forbid any of that, my problem is not somebody else. My problem is I'm not Spirit-filled. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We not only need to shout that with our mouth, we need to shout it with our life and say, God, whatever it takes, show me what needs to get out so you can fill me up fresh and new. D.L. Moody put it this way, before you ask God to fill you, you must ask God to empty you first. The reason we're not Spirit-filled, notice I say we, not you, we. I'm convicted. The reason we're not filled is because, I'm talking about we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, is because we're filled with so many other things. And may God empty us and fill us. Fill us. By the way, I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe a month and a half away from this, but it is evident when you're Spirit-filled. It'll be evident in fruit in your life. It'll be evident in boldness in getting the gospel to others. This is what we need. We need Him. You'd say amen to that, right? Amen? We need the Holy Spirit of God, His power. We all need Him. Let's tell Him. Amen? I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Brother Gary, just begin to sing that if you wouldn't mind. If God is speaking to you in this opening service of the Holy Spirit, where really we're just introducing Him. That's all we're doing. We're just introducing Him. We've not really got into the nuts and bolts, so to speak, yet, but we're just introducing Him tonight. And as we do, maybe God's already working. As Brother Gary sings, come on, would you please?
Spirit of the living
men, women,
God,
husbands, wives,
oh,
teenagers, children,
me,
adults.
Spirit,
this is it.
Spirit of the living God, oh, fresh.
There's so many problems in life. And yes, there are other things. That's not what I'm saying. But it begins with making sure that our hearts are right with God. Making sure that we're filled with the Spirit of God. That we're controlled by the Spirit of God. This is it.
Spirit of the
There's still time for you. If you need to be saved tonight, whatever it is, come. Come. Let us take a Bible. Share the gospel with you. I'm going to have Brother Gary sing this again in just a moment. You know what would be a great thing for some dads to grab their children? Some husbands to grab their wives. Some teenagers to grab their parents. And say, let's go pray together. Let's go pray together. And let's ask God to fill our home with the Holy Spirit of God by filling us. I'm going to sing this one more time. If nobody else comes, we'll be done. But if the Lord is using this in your life, come on. If God's speaking to you, come on. As He sings, you come now, please. Would you do it?
Spirit of
still time for you. Come on.
Living God, fall fresh on me.
Dismissed tonight. God willing, we'll be continuing with this on Wednesday evening. And right after church tonight, I remind you of the two meetings, the cancer ministry meeting in the blue room, the parent teen meeting right downstairs in the teen department. We'll try to make that meeting as quick as we can downstairs as well. Okay? Let's pray together. Thank you for being here, and you can be dismissed. Father, would you bless this service? Would you speak to our hearts and prepare us for this doctrine? As we've only gotten started tonight with just introducing the Holy Spirit to our hearts, with your titles, with your types, beginning with your traits, Would you prepare us for Wednesday night and this coming Sunday if you keep leading in this direction? May the will of God be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. God bless you. You're dismissed.